welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Well, we're going to jump back into that second part of the love of God and probably reiterate quite a bit, but still just get into a little bit at the end of In Him Realities, which is just so good and so helpful to our relationship with Him and our courage and boldness. So let's just jump right back into Matthew chapter 11, 27 to 30, which is our invitation to having a relationship with God. That's the reason why we're doing these videos, so that anyone that's listening can begin to develop a more tangible, real relationship. Now, this is something you have to apply yourself to, but again, it goes back to value. What do you value the most as far as making application? You know, around dinner time, you value the hunger that's in your stomach, so you get up and you'll make dinner when maybe you don't want to make dinner because you know you want to eat. Or at least you'll call somebody to go get something and bring it to the house, which is, you know, the, well, anyhow, I won't go there, but that's kind of the way of the world, getting other people just to do everything. But anyhow, my point is, when you value something, that's where you actually are going to find yourself, and that's where you're going to be involved. And so if we really value this relationship with God, how hard is it? Come on, I've asked you over the next week to just go find a bunch of grace stories of the beauty of outside and how beautiful nature is. That's not very difficult. You can just look anywhere. In fact, I'm going to take my phone to the back. Last week, you saw a picture of the mountains from my iPad when it was in the fall where there was a beautiful sunset. Today, I'm going to go right back out and I'm going to show you just how beautiful it looks back there with all the snow. Why? Because it's so simple. Because we see things like this all the time, but we don't very rarely relate them to the fact that God is the provider of the beauty that He put into this world. Even with sin in this world, it's still so beautiful that you can find God at any moment that you want. And if that's what you value, the simple little acknowledgments of God is what's going to help you to experience grace. And remember, grace is God's influence that allows you to be able to do what you couldn't do and experience what you'll never experience without Him. Well, Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, we shared, and just very briefly, we went over to 1 Corinthians, and of course, we shared some wonderful things over there. And I can just go through that real quickly here, just some wonderful thoughts about the love of God. And we shared how that the 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter, is really where we discover how God loves us. Now, what you're going to read in 1 Corinthians 13 is contrary to the Old Testament law. You know, that's where man had to do everything so perfectly and it was all about your performance, or you weren't able to experience the mercy of our God, the loving kindness of our God, you would experience His wrath. Well, that's because of the way the system was set up. But thank God we've got a new system and we have a perfect sacrifice in Jesus, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, that all our sins would be remitted, that God is not judging us based on our sin. He's judging us based on Jesus removing our sin, which means the mercy of God and the grace of God is forever new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. You know, you can see how in these videos it's really easy to talk because, and it just keeps coming out of you, because when you get talking about this kind of thing, it's really what should motivate you, really what should cause you to have such great expression in the earth, and that is the wonderful work that Jesus accomplished for us that we might be set free and experience God Himself. Now, I know right there I could have inserted experience our healing and experience prosperity and being able to get that nice new car and being able to have that nice home and a nice suit of clothes. Listen, those are just the fringe benefits of enjoying hanging out with somebody that's so loving and kind. The number one and first thing is keeping God first himself and his righteousness, which means just very simply enjoying God, letting him be in your life and actually hanging out with him because you love him and you love him because he first loved you. So I'll just read real quickly here, but in the fourth verse, it says, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than itself. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force itself on others. You can put God in all that. God never gives up on you. God cares more for you than he does himself. God doesn't want what he doesn't have. God doesn't strut. He doesn't have a swelled head. He doesn't force himself on others. Isn't always me first. God doesn't fly off the handle. He doesn't keep score of the sins of others and doesn't reveal when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. God puts up with anything. God always looks for the best, never looks for the bad, but he always keeps on going to the end. That's what love does. It never fades out, never fails, and never comes to an end. So when we share these things, I know that we embellish a lot of other things sometimes and don't really get down to the heart, but grace, everything about grace is the love of God. I mean, the expression of God's love is seen in his grace, in his influence upon man to not only bring Jesus to save us thoroughly once and for all, but then to stay with us and perfect this salvation through the grace of God, where he begins to actually work in and through our lives. That's why I love even the beginning of this chapter. It says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. That's bad. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to the mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. And if I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake of being burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Now, this is just so, so good, and I want us to just see here one of the important thoughts about love that just is so amazing, and this is over now in 1 John, and I'm having to turn there. Somehow or another, I was in another book there. I don't know how I got there. 1 John, and now we're in chapter 4, and I want to look down here in verse 17. Now, we know all these other things. Verse 15, whoever confesses Jesus, Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Okay, this is all about these scriptures about you loving other people. It's not about you trying to strive to do something you're struggling to do. Take the struggle away and receive an endowment of God's strength and help by feeding on how God loves you. Meditating on how God loves you. Meditating on the grace of God. Meditating on how he's not counting anything up against you. Thank God we're not having to worry about penalties and punishments. That's all been put on Jesus, and we thank God are able to come to God freely, amen, of our own will, without any worry, concern at all, that there's anything between you and me and God. You know, I love Smith Wigglesworth. He always, his favorite song was, nothing between my Lord and my Savior. That is the love of God. And when you begin to let that become real to your heart, it will empower you to love other people the exact same way that God loves you. You'll stop counting up their faults. You'll stop, you know, looking at everything wrong that they do. You'll stop being impatient with them. You'll begin to have long suffering toward them, and you'll actually believe the best in them. Wow, what would happen if you did that to someone that you've been doing the opposite to, possibly for years? You might just empower them to turn around and actually love you the way they're receiving love from you. And how are you receiving it? The way that you're receiving it from God. Well, this just seems to maybe make sense. How about you? Well, look at verse 17. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, the perfection of God's love, remember, God's love, he loved us so much he sent Jesus so that we would be possessors of eternal life. Being a possessor of eternal life is having your nature completely changed from sin, which is abolished and destroyed, that you might be changed in an instant, brought out of darkness into the kingdom of light, that you might be made a divine nature being in whom God dwells. And it's so perfect. See, God made just men perfect. In the book of Hebrews, it says, well, who are just men? Men that have been justified through Christ. That means men that have been made righteous. Let's go break it down. Those that have had sin wiped clean from their heart, and God's love and righteousness has now been placed inside of their heart. They are as perfect as Jesus is before the Father, making it so easy for the Holy Spirit to step right inside of your being and live right inside your clothes, in your laundry, walk around in your shoes, look out your eyes and use your hands and use your mouth. Christ in you, the hope of glory, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. I'm telling you, the work that Jesus did was so perfect. Man, God sent Jesus into hell because of our sin, but he waited until every sin was gone and man was completely justified the whole world over, past, present, and future, before he raised him. So much so that he put every single thing in Jesus that would cause us, when we were joined to Christ in union, when we accepted him and he came to live in us, he put everything in Christ necessary to make you just like Jesus, 100%. That's why we are the body and he is the head, and where he sits, we sit. He's raised us up to sit in heavenly places. See, what I'm sharing with you is the new, the in him reality. This wonderful great mystery of the church, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why can you hope for the glory? Or in other words, why do you get to use God's glory? The very thing which would kill somebody that was a sinner if they touched the mountain that God was on, his presence was there, and it would kill them because of their sin. Why do we get to actually touch it, use it, walk in it, live in it, have it on us and in us? It's because the work that Jesus did was so perfect in making us exactly as Christ that there will be and there is not any fear of judgment, because we stand in the perfection of Jesus, completely remitted of all sin and made perfect before the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, that's where the boldness comes. It comes from love being perfected in you. Man, when you get an idea of what God's love did in you, it'll fire you up just like it's firing me up right now as we're preaching this message. Just a few minutes and all of a sudden you can tell there's an unction, there's an anointing here. Someone's back has just been released right now. I'm telling you, you've got serious back problems, herniated disc, and God just went into that disc and put it right back where it was supposed to. You can stand up, you can bend over, you can go get it checked if you like. You'll find out that Jesus just healed you. Someone's prostate right now, some man's prostate is being healed in the name of Jesus, and you're being made perfect right there, brother. You ought to jump up and shout, praise the Lord, and then run to the rest. You'll see for sure that God has set you free and healed you. The Lord's doing all kinds of things. I just release healing into those that are watching right now and victory into those that are watching right now. Why? Because there is boldness in us, because as he is, so are we in this earth. And it goes on to say in verse 18, there is no fear in love. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing that hasn't been completed and finalized and finished in God's love. It's so perfect, it's so real, it's so holy, that fear cannot dwell, cannot exist in someone who even catches an inkling of what it means for God to love you, for God is love. But perfect love casts out fear. I wonder why. Because as you begin to see these things, what in the world would you have fear of? Well, the devil's coming and he's sitting on my shoulder trying to tell me I haven't done enough and I'm not good enough and look at what I did today and what I shouldn't have done. Well, let me just tell you, you can turn to the devil and say, ask God about that, because Jesus, through his precious blood, has already remitted all my sin. I'm perfectly holy and righteous in my Lord and my God and Savior. And if you'll begin to consent to what God has done for you in love, it'll begin to change even the way that your performance comes out on the other side, where you'll start to see things change. Habits will start to reverse. Bondages and addictions will leave you. Sicknesses will go. Amen. You'll find yourself no longer being mean, but you'll find yourself being so hospitable and kind and loving. Notice I didn't say nice. Nice, I don't think nice is a Bible word. It's an accommodating word. You know, I'm going to be nice to you even though I don't like you. I'm going to say something nice even though I should probably tell you the truth. Nice isn't usually that, but be kind, loving, hospitable. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now go on further. It says, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Listen, everybody, the reason why we are able to function as all is because God, by his grace and his mercy, is working in our lives. I love this, folks. I love that God's helping me. I love that there's an empowerment. I love being under the anointing, ministering as we do. But also, why not use this as we walk and we live each single day? Come on, I'm going to take you right now and let you see something. Amen. Just walking you through my home here. Just want you to see. It's getting a little bit dark, but oh, it's so pretty out right now. You'll be able to see this. See, just look right now for a moment at those beautiful mountains, if you can see them, and all the snow and how beautiful it is. That's grace, folks. That's God's grace. God, by his wonderful grace, made everything that you see. And for just a brief second, you just get quiet and you can feel his presence and know that he's real. Well, I'll leave this as my background right now. And I'll just share with you that you can go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us, or by all means, go to the YouTube channel, Adventures in Grace, and subscribe. We want to hear your grace stories and your testimonies. So go to Jim Hockaday Ministry or just jimhockaday.com and find our email page, which is jhmi@jimhockaday.com. Make sure that you email us. We want to use your grace stories on this story, on this, these videos, so that you can just begin to rejoice with us as we with you, what God's doing in your life. Until next time, we'll see you again. God bless you.